try that again. So, as we will see when we get to Pot Aklum, one of the kulot that is introduced in Pot Aklum, which is not true in Bishul, or at least doesn't seem to be, is that by pot, there is something which is produced privately by a non-Jew, which is forbidden to eat. There's something which is produced by Israel, which is pot Israel. But then there's something in between, which is produced by a baker, right, which we call colloquially pot palter, which means very creatively the bread of a baker. Okay? Very creative. And that is generally mutter. Okay? It's not pot Israel. It's essentially pot Aklum, but mutter pot Aklum, or middle category, however you want to look at it. It's a Rashi Teva for, it's an acronym for Oved Kochavim U'Mazalot, a star and star worshiper.
Star and charm worshiper.
It originally usually said non-Jew. It was just that the censors didn't allow us to say non-Jews, so we changed most of them to Aklum. Right, which is, no. What? Yeah. Okay, so I will very briefly address what Rudy said, and that is the following. It is true, according to almost all poskim, that really it's not Bishul Aklum, it's Bishul Nachri, right? That really it's, and that the reason it says Aklum everywhere is part of the censor thing, and therefore, no, and therefore it is not limited to Ovedei Avodah Zarah, it's all non-Jews.
What about?
Okay? Everybody. Doesn't matter. Yeah, no, to marry them, it doesn't matter, but fine, but those Yisroelim are not limited in general to idolaters, they're all non-Jews. There is a minority view, a very, very minority view, which is that it only applies to idolaters. This is not generally accepted. However, there is a tshuva, just for full disclosure, by Rav Shlomo Amar, who was the previous Sephardi chief rabbi of Israel, the current, I think, Sephardi chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, I think, or was. I think that was his retirement gig, because you can only be chief rabbi of Israel once. In his Shema Shlomo, where he does suggest that you could be mekil, at least in certain circumstances, when it's cooked by Muslim, because they are not Ovdei Avodah Zarah. So he does have such a tshuva. Again, it's not... What? It's huge, especially in Israel. No, correct. Correct. So in Shema Shlomo, Yordea Zion, he does say, he's not willing to make it on this alone, but he's willing to add this to a combination, right? So he notes the Torah Emet in his Tshuva in Yordea in Kuf Yud Bet, argues that it only applies to pagans, right, to Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and therefore is Mekil. And like we saw with the Rav Avadia, that Rav Avadia is willing to be Mekil if you combine, you know, the Ashkenazi position of Bishul Aklum, and it's in a Jewish home, so you have the Shita and Tosfot, and it's in... they work for you, so that's an expansion of the Ramban, and you combine all those things together, Mekil, so... Rav Amar is willing to be Mekil, more Mekil when it is a Muslim. Okay? Fine. Industrial kosher. I just wanted to talk to you briefly about this. So as I said, by pot, there is these different statuses. What about by Bishul? Is there like an in-between status by Bishul? The general answer to that question is...
Well, no.
No, because just like we saw before, the Gemara is fully aware of making this distinction as it does by pot, and it does not here. So unlike in the other one where the Rama says, well, that's fine, but like Tosfot, we're just going to say that it applies even though it doesn't. There is one shita that says that it is, and this is I don't know what you want to call them, a late Rishon, an early Achron, Maritatz. So what does that stand for? Maritatz. So Mem Moreno Arav, that's Mem Reish Rav, right? Mem Hey Reish Yud Ted is Yom Tov, and the Ted is Tzahalon, Marit Tzahalon. So he's, I guess you'd call him early Achron. He's 16th century, okay? 16th century. So the Marit Tzahalon does have a Tshuva in Kuf Samach Aleph. where he does suggest that just like there is a heter of pot in a non-private personal context, the same thing is true of Bishul. Okay? I'll read you his key line here. Right? His question goes like this. Kol yamai nitzta'arti al bishule... Whatever. Bishkugush. Oh, no, it's not Bishule. Bishkog, I don't know what that is. Shemachrim agoyim. Vishani zahir bepachal goyim. Imloye de kiseim. Vela bishkogush. If you know what that is, be my guest. Haiti mitzvah, the vision derecho. What? Haiti mitzvah. Mitzvah. Anyways, so he, right, so he's talking about this. And he suggests that just like by Bishul, there by pot, there is this halacha.
So in
the Gemara it says it by bread, but the Maritat suggests it by Bishul. What's his argument? Because it's not chatnut, right? Right, the point is, right, the whole motivation, right, is, what? Right, so he suggests, right, so he said, he said, why don't you say that pot should be utter, because of shlakot? Right, he said, meaning everything that you, right, certain things, right, where they're, why don't you usher all bread because of bishul? He says, it's not true. Why? Because Bishul itself is also because of intermarriage or however you're in Chadnut, they came into God, Sabriachavata, Vipalto, Lecha Chadnut. Right? And therefore, even something which is cooked, right? He suggests the same kula applies. The poskim in general say, no. The Birkei Yosef very succinctly says, Hinei Mashakata Varav, the Gambi Bishule Goyim, Yeshetr Vipalto. That which he said that also by Bishul, you can be Makil in a business context. Zulo Shamanu. Never heard of such a thing. The davka paruter apalter, because as we'll see, starting next week, bread is different. Bread is more makil. Bread is more lenient. Why? Mishum duchay nefesh, because bread is essential to your life. So people couldn't handle it by bread. There's no such heter by bishul, and this is the majority of poskim. Right? We reject it. Maritat, we don't accept it. And... right, and that's why by pot, I assume most of you have. I don't want to assume. Maybe you all are makbid on pot Israel, past Israel. Of course, you're all makbid, very makbid. Are you all makbid? Obviously. You're no
stringent.
Right, your makbid is to be particular about it. I assume maybe you live in Brooklyn. It's everywhere. All the bakeries. You know,
yeah, if I'm willing to make the trek up to Shriver's.
You don't only have one bakery in Brooklyn. I've been to Brooklyn. You're in Sheepshead Bay?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
What are you talking about? What are these places? I've never heard of these places.
I have no clue where anything is in New York and New Jersey, and I'm sick of pretending like I do.
You don't have to. I'm talking to him.
You don't have to, yeah.
I have cousins. Our aunt lives in Sheepshead Bay.
There have to be more than five
it's all numbers and letters.
I know. I'll have to ask her.
Okay, fine.
Anyways, I didn't know that.
Anyways, do they know that? Who had the opinion that...
like Maritza Alom. Maritats. In Tshuva Kuf Samech Aleph, 161. They're all assuming this is about Chagno. No, it's not about that. It's that... it's not intimate, right? When you buy Oreos, you don't say, oh, I want to marry the factory worker who pressed the button who turned on the Oreos.
Maybe
right? What?
Maybe Avi
does. I will find out who pressed the button. Right? That's just not how things work. Right? That's the svara, right? Is that if someone comes to your house, Yeah, I think it was Mordechai's neighbor comes and says, come, Morty, let me show you how to cook. Let's cook this meal together. We'll enjoy. That can already get a little romantic, intimate problem, yeah, right? If someone says, oh, very intimate, you know, this person in the factory in the middle of, I don't know, where are the factories? Where's our food from? I don't know, right? Whatever, right? That pressed the button that made the Oreos, right? This is their name, right? You're not going to be like, oh, really? I need to find this person who knows that I pressed the button in the, right? Like, right? So by Bishul, Samari Tatz says, well, same as by Bishul, right? You're not saying, oh, the person who, I don't know, I'm trying to think of the least romantic, but the person who pressed the button in the pre-packaged, peeled, the hard-boiled eggs in vacuum-packed in the, you know, supermarket. No. Oh, the person that cooked us. Oy, I want to marry them. I mean, like, right? So why aren't we? The answer is because it's formal.
The answer is formal.
The answer is formal. But that's the answer. The answer is that by Pat Akum, we are more lenient because the people couldn't accept the Gzeira, and therefore formally we never accepted it in that context. And by Bishul, you're right, maybe the rationale doesn't apply, but the Tekana applies, and that's the consensus amongst Poskim. I understand, but that's the Tekana, right? Wait, did we do the question of Kalim? If not, we have to at least read that Sif and Shulchan Aruch. Of whether traits of Caleb. We didn't do that?
No.
Okay, we'll have to do that at the end of the day.
Vessels.
Fine. Yeah, but... Vessel like a pot.
Stop being silly goose.
Oh, God.
Stop being silly goose.
Okay. Well, now, so this is basically... Guys, so this is basically the way, right, the psak went. Right? People just said, well, we reject it, and yalla. Right? Wow. However, things got a little bit more complicated once we started introducing industrial kashrus. Now, why would you tell me industrial kashrus is different?
Because there's a separation, really, between the, like, the people working, making it, and the actual process of...
Yeah, but we just said, so who cares?
When you sell something at a large scale, you can't check everything.
So here,
they're not making each thing individually. It's a machine.
So basically, what happened was like what was like this: Rav Moshe Feinstein comes up with a chiddush, right? Guys, Rav Moshe comes up with the following chiddush. Rav Moshe says, "You're right. A restaurant owned by a non-Jew that's still aser, even though it's a business context. But factories are different. Why are factories different?" So he argues as follows. Why? So one possibility is that, yes, maybe you'll say that this is quantitatively different, right? Or qualitatively different, because a restaurant, even if it's a business context, you might meet them, right? So the first svara we make, Il, is that it's bichlal. You have no contact with them at all, right? Now, that usually isn't enough because you would say, but still formally, right, it applies. So Rav Moshe came up with a second part of his tshuva. And this is quoted by Rav Nachman Greenblatt. This is quoted by Rav Ephraim. Is that the kalim are different. That it's not just, right, that there's a formal reason, right? Because what do we need? We always need a formal reason in addition to a svara, right, to get out of the gzera. So therefore, what does he say? He says, look, in a factory, it's not just that, like, let's say in a restaurant. In a restaurant, the same pot that he uses, I could use, right? It's just that he's being paid to do it. But fundamentally, right, what's the difference, right? If I was friends with the person in the restaurant, he invited me in and it would taste the same. And if you cooked it at home, it would be the same, right? Right? Meaning, it's not fundamentally, right, the chef, right? When he's at home, he might make the exact same dish. What makes it different, right? He used the same type of pots and pans fundamentally. Not so. In a restaurant, not really. Right, but even so, it's not like fundamentally different. This is Ramosha's argument. Ramosha says maybe in a factory where like the machines are the type of thing that are only ever used in a context and where there's a complete split between the person cooking with whom you might therefore forge an intimate relationship. That makes it that the low plug doesn't apply. What? So he has two svara, right? One is, right, there Moshe argued that maybe you should be meikel because he said, I'm quoting from Rabbi Ganak. So one possibility is that maybe it's just mutter because it's like fundamentally minutak, right? It's not like a restaurant where maybe you will fall in love with the waiter or waitress, right? Right? Or this. Right, and the chef comes out, and it turns out it's this beautiful woman, and she comes out and says, right, she looks at Marty and says, oh, can I invite you over for a private dinner, right? I mean, you don't know what's going to happen, right? That doesn't happen with the guy pressing, you know, with the woman pressing the machine, no matter how beautiful she is out in the factory in the middle of nowhere, right? But the second, Svaro, one second, as he said, is, right? So, and he says, if that's the case, right, it's a kli miuchad, right? And he proved this from the following, right? Because he says, right? His svara was like this. The Ramosha argued, and again, this is what he quoted from Nutzer Greenblatt, is that maybe the reason that we're machmir in Bishul Akum, even in a business context, is specifically because there's this blurry line. Right? Right? Because every time you have a pot, right, it could be that the chef will, she'll invite Mordechai over for a private dinner, right? We don't want that. No. We don't want that. I mean, unless she's a good from Jew, in case we don't want that. Right?
It's about a 19 question.
What?
19. I have time to learn.
Well, we're talking about once you're in back in New York or whatever, you know. Anyways, oh, yeah. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. Right? So therefore, Moshe said that maybe in a factory there's room to be mekel. And he says, right, what's his svar? It's two prongs. Right? Is that one is the svar of chatnut doesn't apply. And two, I have a way to get out of the low plug, which is that in a factory, I don't have a way of getting out of the low plug in the restaurant. Right? Because they use the same pots and pans. And therefore, even if you say it's a business context, still, we made a gzera. But in a factory, you could say, no, it's not low plug. I made a low plug on all normal, you know, on pots and pans, not on assembly lines. I didn't say I know, but this is what he suggests. However, what is interesting is the following. Is that many poskim say, look, even if I'm not willing to make on Ramosha that, and not being willing to make on the Maritzalo, we talked about how complex it is to rely on the Ramah. Right? Most Ashkenazim do, but we said Misvar, it's really hard to rely on the Ramah. Right? That was the Aruch HaSholem point, right? Eish me eish, right? The pilot light, da 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 da. Yes, and yet this was such a stretch that many of the poskim were like, it really better if you didn't. Because it really seems to go against Gemara. In fact, Tosfot acknowledges it goes against Gemara. His only defense is, right? Yes, the Aruch HaSholem in a way of defending treating pot and bishul the same. But then the Ramah takes it one step farther, right?
And then says, and then like
even Eish Me Eish, right? So
which Tosfot didn't bring
it. Which Tosfot doesn't bring it. It was a later innovation, right? So some people are going to look. I mean. Right, Bidyavid could rely on their Ma'at to the Ramah. But Lechatchila, they're like, However, right? And therefore, the Chachmas Adam, Aruch HaSholchan, both think that even though it's the Ramah, you should rely on it, Bidyavad. However, in industrial kashrus, poskim say that if you combine the Maritza alone, plus Ramosha Feinstein, meaning, right, Maritza alone says in any business context there's no Bishul Akum. We don't rely on that lechatchila. Ramosha Feinstein says in companies, right, in factories, where it's an assembly line and the kilim are different, there's no bishalak. Again, you don't want to be relying on the chila, but you are. There's no chatnut. You have the maritza alone. You have Ramosha Feinstein because you're dealing with the hard-boiled egg factory, right, in wherever, right? And then you have, it's Eish Me'eish, and the Jew turned on the pilot light. They're like, okay, Imkvar Ozkvar. We're so far. Right, and therefore, the OU rings from Rebelsky and from Schechter and another one, right, is that in restaurants they're hesitant, that if at all possible they rely on Eish Me'eish. They avoid relying on Eish Me'eish, rather. But in a factory where you have so many other smarot, lahakel, the Minchas Yitzchak in question, there's a few of them, Chelik Yod, Shuva Semech Zayin, Gimel Ayin Bet. The context there is like, he has one shuv on canned spinach, and now there is another major heter that is often quoted in the context of industrial kashrus, and that is a steam. It was a big machloket whether steam is a problem with bishul akum. Some posts can say yes, some posts can say no.
I feel like it's
a machloket. But many posts can, in industrial, a lot of industrials have not done with classic cooking done with steam, and therefore that's another svara to be made, Gil.
Well, what's the, like, okay, fine, I guess.
Right, because there are things that make things edible that are not bishul, like salting, right? Or microwaving might be, right, might not be a wrong bishul akum, right, depending, right?
Well, definitely not hot.
Well, part of it might be hot, no, because if I microwave someone, oh, when I marry the person, they grab microwave.
How do you
microwave?
She knew exactly how many seconds.
Oh, she never has fresh food, so she knows exactly how many seconds. Better than the box. Right, Nechanami. Right,
the center wasn't even cold.
Yeah, fine. So many postgame are so just so you know, but in general, the postgame are, and the OU brings this from Rav Schechter also, that basically in industrial kashrus, where basically the way Rav Schechter puts in one of the internal documents of OU is that basically the svara is already dead, right? Meaning there's no, like, misvara, there's no reason to be machmir on it, but there's not a reason to be mekel lechatchila, right? Because it's low plug. But basically his argument is very clever. It's a beautiful argument. It's basically when the gzera has been emptied of substantive meaning, you shouldn't feel bad about using formal kulot that work. Right? Meaning, right? You don't want to...
Between the marit.
Correct. Meaning, like, lidugmai, I'm sorry to pick on Mordechai, right? But let's say, okay, this chef, this beautiful woman, non-Jew chef, comes and invites Mordechai for dinner. And Mordechai says, no, come to my house. It'll be in my territory. I'll pay you a nominal amount of money. I'll pay for your taxi ride, and that'll be your salary. And I'll stand over you while you're cooking it, and I'll put it on the flame. So all the kulos check off. Even lechatchila, according to Beis Yosef, it works. You're like, I'm more machmir than Beis Yosef. I put it on the flame. I stirred it. She's standing there and everything. We alternate stirring, right? I would tell you that this is probably a bad idea from the vantage point of intermarriage, even though it checks all the boxes, limahadrin, that it's not bishul akum. This is a problem. It's like what people talk. It's like, no, it's like, no, it's like, look, it's like what I tell people when they get engaged. I'm like, look, there's two things you got to think about in yichud. There's the formal isser yichud, and then there's like having a head on your shoulders, right? So if it's a stranger, right, a strange woman you don't know, so there's nothing wrong with relying on a formal kula, right? For 5 minutes, we're going to be alone in the living room with a huge bay window and the whole world can see in, right? That's one thing. Right? Okay, it's a stranger. It's formally mutter. You can see in. The door's open. Yalla. If you're engaged and, you know, people can see in the window, but, you know, you can easily move to the side. Sometimes you got to think, like, substantively, is that a good idea? I'm not saying it's awesome. I'm telling you, shove a head on your shoulders. Right? So the point is that sometimes we don't want you to rely on cool, and sometimes we want you to make your own... Shagim, to be very careful. But when it comes to industrial kashrus, where it's clear to everybody that the svara, like the logic, the only reason to be machmer is a formality. So there, if I have perfectly legitimate kulot, and it's a dirabanan or whatever, so I shouldn't be afraid to rely on kulot, right? That's what Belsky's saying, that's what Schechter's saying. Look, I'm not just saying Bishul Akum, it's gone because it doesn't make sense. I'm saying you're not falling in love to the person who pressed the button on the hard-boiled eggs out there in the Midwest, and they sent you the you know, and you got the eggs in the, you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's like disgusting. I mean, like, you eat that with, like, last, right? It's like, you're desperate if you're eating the, what? Correct, like, you're in the airport, and, like,
you're
see...
describing what happened to me exactly last time I flew to Israel, which was...
Correct.
Had to change my flight, which means no kosher meat.
And did you fall in love at that moment with the theoretical woman who was out there at the factory? No!
Of course,
that's who he's marrying, right? I mean, like, right, like, right? So there's actually, it's, look, I think it's just important to realize, right, that this is actually, right, because I think you always have to ask two questions. When you rely on kulot, one is it legitimate formally? The second is it a good idea, right? And basically what Rav Schechter is saying is, look, it's more legitimate to rely on kulot that formally work when it's substantively, when what we're using it to solve a formal problem. So I'll give you another example. This is just a life lesson, so I want to share it with you, right? So basically, like, heteriska, okay, right, which is a formality to get out of the issers against usury, right, against rebate, right, where basically I transform my loan into an investment, and instead of getting interest, I'm getting dividends. Great. So one question, does it work? The second question, should you use it? So there's a very beautiful tshuva by Rav Chaim David Halevi, who says, what I think makes a lot of sense. He says, look, on the formal level, sure, heter eska works. It works. It works. I'm not going to say it doesn't work. But if I don't want to assume any of you need my money. What? If my brother, I don't have a brother, so this is an easy example. If my brother would come to me and say, Jonathan, you know, I'm really hard on my luck. I need a loan to pay my bills, right? Can I borrow whatever it is, $2,000 for the next 2 months' rent, right? Rent and whatever. At that point, if I say to him, oh, of course, but we're going to halachically define it as an investment, and you're going to give me dividends on that of 5%. That's just like wrong. It's not ribbis, but it's just wrong, right? Mitzad Sheni, if the poor bank comes to me and says, or the government for that matter, let's say the Israeli government comes, Mr. Ziering, would you like to lend us money? We'll call it a bond, right? I don't have to say, poor government, I will lend you money and not take interest. I'm allowed to say, I'm giving you money and we'll call it an investment. And you will give me dividends. Why? Because it's clear that the logic of ribbis doesn't apply there, right? They're the big guy, I'm the small guy, not the other way around, right? So when I buy a bond, I can take, it's spiritually fine to take advantage of the formal kula. Why? Because the formal kula, the formal heter, takes care of the formal problem, but the spirit of the law, there is no spirit of the law in this case. What? Heter is God. The idea that you should care about this. Yeah, so this is it. That's why I'm telling you, this is a life lesson. I'm telling you that in general, you should think, we can have a long discussion later about when loopholes are legitimate. I'm giving you one case where basically what Schechter's arguing in this case. What?
No,
he says,
if it's not with him,
oh, so that's what Rav Schechter says? Yeah, in the case of industrial, we can't just say it's mutter. You can't just wipe it away. But to rely on the kulot that are legitimate, meaning in the end of the day, it's the Ramah plus Ramosha Weinstein plus the Maritza alone plus possibly steam plus that, right? You don't have to say, no, I'm going to be machmir because, remember, it's a derabanan. It's been emptied of its substance by the situation. What you're left with is a formalist or derabanan. So he's like, then it's legitimate, spiritually legitimate to take the kulot if you think they work. You don't think they work, fine. But these are major poskim, which maybe you don't rely on them by themselves. Yeah, now who else says this, right? So Rabakshi Daron is a tshuva like this as well. Rabakshi Daron was asked about creating a certain technical workaround, like a button that would solve Bishalakum. I don't want to go through all the details, but you can understand how we could have all types of technological ones that would get around Bishalakum, right? So he says, should I rely on it? So he says, look. I could, if I wanted to. Right? He gave a whole bunch of kulot, and he says, you're right, I could explain why none of them work. He said, but I don't want to. Right? I don't want to say, maybe it's not 100% that it's mutter, but he says, in the end of the day, chatnut is different. Chatnut is different. And he says, even if you'll come up with a solution that maybe in Shabbos, I would insist that it's still called Bishul, I'm willing to accept a more makil definition of Bishul in the context of Bishul Akum. Why? Because the standards are different. So he said, here in a factory, he said, listen, I don't like it. I will be more machmir in your restaurants. Why? Because he said, you're trying to come at a magic button that solves all of this Bishalakum. Right? You come up, it's a Hasar Monea thing. You know what Hasar Monea is? Hasar Monea is where I don't do anything active, I prevent a prevention.
Okay.
Right? So basically, what it would be is, you know, some of these Shabbos mechanisms work like this. Right? Is like, they're on a timer that the flame goes on, let's say, for 5 seconds, the electric flame, for 5 seconds every 60 seconds. Right? And all you have to do is pick up the button, right? Then, and you know, like in a timer that once it's on, you just pull everything up and it'll just continue. Mm-hmm. So that's Hasharat Moneh. I'm not turning it on. I'm preventing it from going off. So someone basically came up with a machshir like that for Bishalakum, right? It'll go on a timer and then you'll just pick out the thing. So he says, look, I don't want that to be in the restaurant. And right, because then back to Mordechai's case, the beautiful chef will come and he'll say, I'm just going to sit here, relax, and watch you cook. I won't do anything. Just my electric flame goes on for 5 seconds. Just pick the button. And there's nothing intimate about this scene, right? You cooking a meal for me, it has lost all its romance because you didn't turn on the flame. It went on by timer, and then you stopped it from going off. Now you could do everything. Like, come on. Come on.
Hey, Richard, a cooking conversation.
How he says... Right, and you're trying to get rid of it, right? However, he says, if you were dealing with a bate charoshet shel rabim, but he says, I'm not willing to be makil on this, you know, magic button in a case of like a restaurant. But bate charoshet, she'ein bam kri uvdat, efshar k'shekayom evshadat chav gom neila, shar lokal machshir zeh. A factory. But a factory, I'm not going to make it. What? Bate charoshet. No, that's what it is in Hebrew. Or factory.
There's a cooking show, and because some of the chefs are not Jewish, but some of the judges are, they have these assistants turn on the stoves for the cooking show. So after the show is over, the person who turns...
Mifal can be a different one, correct. Now, I will point out that the Yashiv Moshe... This is like, he's like, no, I don't buy this. You can't be more makeup by factories because there are visitor centers at some factories. Oh,
and see the person pressing the button.
Right? So, and Rav Shmuel Eliezer Stern is like, no. Now, so in the Shulchan Malachim, he also notes, right, that restaurants, again, you shouldn't rely on these kulot so freely, but factories, right? Again, there's more room. This is the position of Rosh Hashanah Gross as well. Now, the Hitorud HaTshuva suggests you could also be makil in certain food festivals because they're not big goy. It's a neutral space. And the Shulchan Aruch says, no, even the kula might only be in Yisrael. Rav Heinemann, on the other hand, is not willing to be makil, and he says, no. The fact that it's a factory is not enough of a reason to be more makel than you would elsewhere. The CRC says they're only willing to be makel on this where it's like a totally, totally different type of instrument. Like not like a big, big pot. Maybe an assembly line is different. But like a big, big pot is fundamentally the same. The okay is also not, but sorry for Moshe. Right? What's so I'm not... Chicago. These are just different cautious organizations. And the Chelkut Yaakov is willing to be Mekil on the basis of the Shvachot, where the Chelkut Binyamin is not. Okay? But you just know that this is something that exists. Again, it's not everybody agrees to it, but many poskim are willing to say that in industrial settings, the combination of Shita makes it more Mekil. And again, there are other things in their steam, and Bizman Hazeh, a lot of the Kulot come not from this, but come from the fact that the Mashkiach, right? I said, nowadays, what I gather is that a lot of kosher organizations don't need to rely on any of this because they just have the Mashkiach beginning every day turn on everything directly from his cell phone or something. And then you have another Sfar to make out. But you should just know, right? These are some of the things. And steam is another reason. In certain contexts, induction cooking is also another kula. Where there's no fire, it's basically magnetic, right? It's created from the electromagnetism. What? No, an induction cooktop. No, the induction cooktop is. It gets a, right? Like you need special pots, right? That, basically. No, induction cooking is when it generates energy from an electromagnetic field below the glass cooktop surface. Right, you get special things, and the heat is created by electromagnetism. Yes. So there is a machloket about this. I mentioned that yes, because it's made to create a certain type of electromagnetic field that will create heat. So there are machloket around this, and in certain contexts, I know that poskim are makil on that. When there's other svarot to be makil, so that's a little bit industrial. The last thing I want to mention to you, and this was on the page that I gave you, is a very important machloket, which is lumdishli. How do we look at bishul akum? Is bishul akum basically it's usher for you to eat, or is it treif derabanan? What's the nafkamina? Like you can't eat it. It's an iser gavra. Or is it Isra Cheftza, that it's not kosher, derabana? What the nachgamina? Kalim. Does it trafe up the pots and pans? Right? So this is a machloket Rajba Ra'a. And I'll read you just the last sif in Shulchan Aruch. Sim sif te zayin. Kalim shebishul behem obed kochavim lefaneinu. Dvarim shejim shum bishule of de kochavim. Trichem hechsher. Shulchan Aruch says, first day, you need to be machsheret. The Yeshom Rim Shainam Trichem. And some say, you don't need. V'afle divrei matzrichem hechsher. But even the people who say it needs hechsher, we're willing to be makel on the hechsher. And imhu klicheres, so klicheres, normally you can't kasher. But here we allow you to kasher. How? Magilo shalosh pamim, by dunking it three times. Vidayo, that's enough. Vibination in. Because it's not biblical at all. It's a strategic type of drabanan. So we'll be mekel. In general, the poskim assume that we're machmer. No, so we're going to be mekel here on certain things. It's not d'oraita, obviously not.
So you have to be machshir, but not as high a...
Once you're kashering, but here we wouldn't be able to kashir it or make ill. And then the Ramah adds that Ovi Gochavim Shabisha L'choleb B'Shabbat, and this is a huge sugya I want to get into, what if someone cooked beheter? Meaning you had a sick person on Shabbat, so you had a goy cook for them. Now, so the goy is allowed to eat it. Is a regular healthy person allowed to eat it on Motzei Shabbat? So the answer, the Ramah Paskin mutar l'motzei Shabbat, afil l'bari. Vein bo mishum bishulei v'chavim dechol gan gavin aheke ra'ika. Because in this case, it's clear why you're doing this. But no, that's not a problem because you wait kadesh yasser or whatever, right? But it was cooked by a goy because he cooked it on Shabbat for the sick person, which was mutter. But now, motzei Shabbat, are you allowed to eat it? It's bishul akum. The Ramah says we allow it. We're mekel. Because in this case, it's a heker, right? But there's a heker. So I think that's everything I want to cover in Shulchan Aruch. There is a truth that Tzitzil Yezer, who gives another svara towards being makel on industrial kosher, and that is that it's not just that there's more kula in the chatnus, case, it's also more makil on in terms of kashrut, right? Because there's more supervision, right? And therefore, the two reasons for bishul akum, right, are not applicable, which is more reason to be makil. So now I'm just going to run through again. Shulchan Aruch. Let's make sure we covered everything. Shulchan Aruch Sif Aleph is the two main standards, Nechol Chai, right? That if it's edible raw, and Olal Shulch Malachim. And again, I noted there is a Pri Chadash who thinks that it also has to be Nishtano Mibriato, that has to look different. Most poskim do not accept this, so I'm going to leave that aside. Sif Bed, okay. Some of the complexities is what happens if you mix something which is edible raw with something that isn't. So it goes by Iker, it goes by the primary. Okay, makes sense. Sif Gimel is about a panada. It's a thing, it's a mixture of oil and dough, and there's a little bit of question of how is it defined. Is it defined by the oil and the fish and whatever? Okay, fine. Sif Dalid was the question of Shvachot, which, as I said, the major question that you'll find nowadays about it is nannies, where, right, to be makil, this is a particularly relevant heter, but it's very, very hard to be makil, ledati. But maybe Bibbeit Yisrael plus that, right? So then you could rely on the Ramah, or the Shari Dura, that there's clearly a Jew who's playing with the fire. Okay. Not so good. We didn't get too much into the Kavana. Remember we did this in the Gemara? That it has to be that the non-Jew has Kavana to cook, right? But if he burns down a field and it happens to toast some grasshoppers, then the grasshoppers are kosher. Like I said, the only time I've ever seen this invoked in, I've seen it invoked in a few modern Shuvot. The main one is blackout Shuvot.
Right.
Right? Is where you have an electric stove and, you know, you leave a pot of soup on overnight and then there's a blackout. In the middle of the night, the electricity goes back on. It happens to be that non-Jew turned the electricity back on, right? So he turned your food. It wasn't going to be cooked. So the post-game are make ill. What do you mean? Because he turned on the electricity, your electric stove went on.
It's like cooked your soup.
Like
the Jew, all the way from the...
Right? You, 11 o'clock, you put your soup totally raw. Right? On the electric stovetop. No, but it would... No, probably not. Yeah, right, because... Yeah, probably. I don't know. But so there is tshuvot about this. There are some other interesting tshuvot along these. Siv Vav is the Jewish participation. We talked about that a lot. Siv Zion is the Machloket Shulchan Aruch Ramah, which we dealt with a lot in terms of Shkirat Tanur. Chet is the question of Yisrael taking it off and putting it back on. Machal Ben Drusai, etc. Siv Tet is Machal Ben Drusai. Siv Yud Gimel. There's a lot of, you know, localized foods. Steam, right? Steam again. Ashan. So the poskim assume is mutter. And then they, right, meaning smoke, sorry, smoking, the poskim assume is not bishol. Then they ask about adim, right? Steam, like water steam. That's a machloket. And then the kalim issue I raised, and then we dealt with industrial kashrut. We dealt with the question. Okay, I think that's a good summary of the major issues in Bishul Akum. So next week we'll pick up with pot, right? We'll start with Gemara like we did last time. I'll give you the Gemaras on Sunday. Well, we'll read those Gemaras. We'll start on Sunday, start reading through the Gemaras. That's basically what I would tell you. And then we'll go through pot, which is Kofud Bet. Okay?
Okay.
Well, and we'll see what we'll have time with. Yeah.